We are on Simon Lama Base, and we're up to Vav. We started doing this yesterday, but let's continue it. So again, this is page 83. So Machaber says, Sarach l'sarteit, ein sarach l'sarteit, ki im shitel yonah. Now again, this is a very big discussion between the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam, but again, we'll make it a little simple. And that is, as we discussed yesterday, the idea of sirtos, making guidelines or whatever, lines, so that we, whoever is writing, writes straight. So on tefillin, the halacha is that you just have to make a line on the top line. V'im eino yodei aliyah asher hashita b'lo sirtut. Let's say, if you would not be able to justify the lines without making those, the scores, without sirtut, next page 84, yisar kol ashuros. So then you should make lines all the way down. And I think that's what they do. In other words, not, they're very... maybe the Sofrim could do it, but Olamai said that's what they do. But you shouldn't use lead. Shouldn't use lead to make the lines, because again, then the lines that you make with the lead would be, there'd be a coloring, right? So like we said yesterday, so the way they normally do it is they just, use a blunt instrument, mm-hmm. To make the sirtut. So that doesn't, it's just a line, it's just an indentation. But again, obviously what some people would want to do is, you take and you make a line, like...
Oh, writing a line.
Yeah, writing a line.
Lead, like the metal.
Yeah, the lead metal will leave
a red right.
Colorant.
So, right, so... lead, like a lead pencil, right? Right, and yeah. I think in Eretz Yisrael they use it for matzevos, from what I recall. In other words, the more expensive matzevos use lead because it lasts longer, whereas sometimes they just use ink, so the ink will last, but it will fade after a little while.
Which lead is the Rambam referring to now at the matzevos?
On the matzevos, the writing on the matzevos.
Writing with
it. Yeah. Good, yeah. They inject lead. I don't know how they do
it. Is it graphite or is it metal?
I don't know. Okay, so anyways, you get the idea. So then, Mishbur says the same idea, obviously, I'm sure you figured this out, will apply to if I want to make the lines with ink. I make ink lines, right? So that won't work either. Because, again, the problem is that the area of the lines will stay there. Now, the Mishnah says this is all the chachila, but b'dievet, if you did, it would still be okay. And the Ramah says, v'yesh orim shesarach sartei tamid l'malo l'mata mi'at stadim. As I mentioned before, the Ramah says, no, you got to make lines everywhere, also on the sides. They do that also, right, so you don't go too far. The lines are, like I said before, justified. Alpha pishar del lichtov lo sirtot, even though the person might be talented and might be able to write in a proper way, in a nice way without the lines, but that's the minug. The minug is we do sirtot all the way around, up and down. The chaynogim, and that is the custom.
So does that mean that the writing actually has to be justified on both
versions? Yeah. So it could go over a little bit. Not too much. It could go over. We have a Sefer Torah that one, I remember there's somewhere, I think it's the 200-year-old Sefer Torah. There's some place that it goes a little over. So I remember it's a Shiloh, but they said, no, it's not so bad. There's a certain, I forgot, I used to know this a lot, a certain amount of letters that it could go over. I mean, space of letters, I should say, that it could go over. But basically, it's supposed to be justified.
But also on this, the other side, it can't finish too much before the end.
Or start over. What do you mean? Yeah. Should be basically justified. But see, that could they could do very easily. See, like I said, now, apparently, what they do, if you look at our old Sefer Torah, they're all different. Now, they're not all different. They're all, because all the Sofrim use the same tikkun, get the same words onto a line, the same amount of lines onto a column, and, you know, like, you might notice they also now make it, it wasn't the, like, every top of a column begins with a word with a vav, like to connect. Vav, you know, the, you know, so it's connect. But if you look at some of our old Sefer Torah, I don't think it was always like that way. But it's become more standardized. So for a lot of things. So again, we're going to talk about this, the next thing about the material that we use for, well, let's do it. Zion. Halacha l'moshe misinai. It's a halacha l'moshe misinai. You all know what that is. Tfilin al-klaf v'lo adoksustus. That tfilin, what we're talking about, the writing material that we write on, in other words, until now we've been talking about the ink and all that, but the writing material, what we write on is called klaf, and not doksustus. I know you're going to ask what's our, yeah, hold on. Velo al gvil, and you also don't write tefillin on gvil. And then the mechaber continues, kosin al klap b'makom abasar, v'im shino pasol. And then you write, on the again, we're talking about tefillin. So now this material that we call klap, you write on the skin part. And if you changed it, if you change it, we'll see change to what. If you change it, then the tefillin would be pasul. Right, so now the big question is, what are you talking about? Right, so the Machaber explains. Mahu klaf, mahu doksustus. So what are these materials? So or the Machaber explains, or bishas ibudo. So when you have a hide of an animal, now again, we're going to talk about later, what kind of hide do we use from what type of animal? So leave that. But again, you have a hide of an animal, right? You're shucked in an animal, and again, it has to be a kosher animal. We'll get to that. So when you take off the hide, you have to cure it. You only learn these words when you're in yeshiva, you know, like if you or stoking, or, you know, like stoking, you know. Right, people, if you cure, I'm sure people would think, you know, well, go to a doctor and they cure you, you know. But like, no, you cure a hide, which means you work it, because if you don't, it will become stiff and hard. So now, when you cure the hide, chokhnos solishnaim. So the Machaber says it's going to be very important that you. So again, you have a hide. Let's say if it's of a cow hide or a bull hide, it could be very thick. Like I mentioned before, the tefillin we have now, that a lot of people have, are gassos, right? And I mean, you just look at it. You look at the side. Like,
that's the thickness of the hide?
That's, well, if you look where the, in the mavarta, where the strap goes through, you could see on top, where it goes through, look on top. That's the thickness of that hide. That's pretty thick. And again, that's why, until recently, again, when, as I mentioned many times, when I became Bar Mitzvah, so I still remember Hillel Kellerman got gassos. But nobody had, it was a new thing, so that was 1970, whatever it was. So that's when, before that, they couldn't do it because they couldn't press the hide of a cow, of a bull, is so heavy. And they couldn't do anything with it. So once in that, during those days, in the 70s, when they got hydraulic presses, again, maybe that hydraulic press before, but, you know, ones that could be commercially made for, you know, that a sofer could use them, a batamacher could make them. So then they started making a tefillin out of that hide. They were all, before that was sheep. So again, we discussed before what the problem is. But here we're talking about the parshios, right? We're not talking about the batim. So again, so when they would take the hide, they would, so again, it's thick. Come to take a man, no, it's not that thick, but just, you know. Let's say, again, you shouldn't use a safer, but it's for learning. So let's say it's this thick, right? So now when they take it, chokin oso l'shnayim, they would separate it. They would split it into half. So, right? So now we have this top half, right? This is where the fur is of the animal, right? And this is now the lower half, right? So now, achelak achitzon v'ulatzarash sear nikra klaf. So now this half, which has the fur on it, where it has the fur, so this half, right, we're separating it, so it divides into two parts, upper and lower. So now, again, here's where the fur of the animal is, fur, the hair, whatever it is. This is called the cloth, not this second part. Now this lower part, which is attached to the skin of the animal, that's called duxostus. Lefiza, and based upon that, ki amri and kosin ala klaf b'makom basar hainu b'makom hayoser korov lebasar. The hainu b'makom chiburo kshu dovelok duxostus. So now when we talk about the klaf, right? The klaf is this part, this higher, more external part of the half of the hide of the animal. So we don't, when we talk about, you don't write where, you don't scrape off the hair and write on the hair part. You write on that part, on the backside, right? Which is closer to the duxostus, which is connected to the duxostus. Klafin shalandu she'in chokin olsam, yesh lahem din klaf, the kosin olayam l'sad basar. And now again, so our klafin, which we don't separate, even in the time of the Chabad, they didn't do that. So we write on them, on the side towards the meat, in other words, the bottom side, right? And even though they're both all mixed together, but still, that's okay. Now it's very interesting. Rav Moshe has a thing on this about. Why is it originally the way they used to do it? There's different parts. There's also gvil, which we haven't talked about yet. So he talks about that the something that has higher kedusha, like you write a sefer Torah on gvil, so it's hidden more. And he talks about the whole. There's different kochos depending on how far down or deep the layer of hide it is. Very, very interesting. But Lamaisa, it doesn't make a difference because you see, and Ramosha also talks about that, and the Orach HaShulchan also talks about it, that already they don't do it that way. They don't do it that way. They just, they don't, again, I didn't speak to a sofer recently. You know. They don't do this.
They don't separate the layers.
He explains. Oh, some yeshlam din klaf because in our land with sar basar shema klipasan al yona shemakom sear eno ela kede mashit sarkle sakno lachalikol. So in other words, what they do is they take off a layer on the top. Again, I haven't spoken to a sofer in a while. Take off the layer on the top to get off the fur, right? You know. You know, you want to get the hair or the fur or whatever of the animal is. So you want to make it smooth. So they do that. Regardless of what's there, go because they have to make it smooth. And even if they would separate it, right? Let's say they would do, like we said before, they would separate it into two parts. So you got to get rid of the fur, right? Have you ever seen furry parchment? Right? The other side of the parchment being furry? No, of course not, right? So in other words, so we got to layer off that part anyways. Misav barasar gorin harbei, ad she'en nishar el aklap bilvad. So again, the way they used to divide it is skim off a little, so enough they took off enough that this would be considered klaf, even though they're not separating the way they used to do it. So again, that's how they do it today. Again, I think they use different. There's a whole thing how they used to cure it, but I'm sure they use modern chemicals now and things like that. Who knows what they use? But again, it's very interesting. I think, from what I understand, it used to be that a sofer, I read about one who still does it, does everything. He makes his own parchment and he writes. And you know, now, for the most part, it's specialized. Somebody makes the batim, and somebody writes the parchment. You know, they.
Part of the
job. Yeah. Okay, Rabosai, stop here for today.
Where does the parchment come from if it's so thick? You can't use the whole thing.
What do you mean?
I can't.